I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, Paul, certainly a mixed bag. I mean, you don't like to lose. You're going up against a Pittsburgh Steelers team that a lot of folks feel is in for a big resurgent season, especially with Big Ben back at the helm. But the Giants played a pretty competitive game, and obviously there's a lot of areas where they have to do a lot of work, and offensive line and running game, I would think, would be number one priority in terms of getting that thing going.
Well, yeah, it's not just the offensive line. You mentioned the running game, and really that's the big picture, because the Giants' tight ends really did not do a very good job in the run game at all, and they just enhanced whatever difficulties that the line itself had. You're talking about Ingram, Smith, Toilolo. The Giants used half of their snaps with a double or triple tight end package. That's designed to effectively get a power running game going. Well, if those extra tight ends aren't blocking, it really doesn't do you a whole lot of good to have them in there. And so I loved the game plan that Jason Garrett had. I thought it was the right way to go, to try to drag the game down into the mud, to try to slow the tempo down, to try to control the ball and the clock. It was all very well designed. The problem is, when the guys don't get it done, that plan falls apart miserably, and Saquon Barkley paid the price for it.
Yeah, and Bud Dupree, I mean, this guy, he was all over the field. I mean, what a game he had.
He's a really good player. I mean, let's not kid ourselves, you know. And the truth of the matter is that Andrew Thomas did a terrific job against him in pass protection. Now, on the backside help, of course, on running plays, you know, Thomas isn't going to be with him the whole time, and he's going to be off the ball, and so Dupree is going to be able, you know, to make some moves and to be able to get to the ball carrier, and that he did. I tell you something. I thought Fleming had a harder time with T.J. Watt than Thomas did with Dupree. In fact, I think Thomas was by far the Giants' best offensive lineman. And, you know, how could you complain about that? It was his first ever pro game. And, you know, I think the arrow's only up on him.
Yeah, and they face a challenge with the Bears. I mean, they've got some guys, especially Khalil Mack, who are pretty formidable on defense.
Well, you know, if Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack are both able to play, it certainly changes the complexion of what the Bears are able to do. Last week, Quinn was not able to go. Mack, both of these guys are nursing lower body injuries. Now, to me, Mack is much less effective when he doesn't have a complement. In fact, you know, I think the people in Chicago would tell you, since his trade from the Raiders, yes, that first year when he got there, he was somewhat similar to what he was with Oakland. He was a game wrecker when he was with the Raiders. That first year with the Bears, yeah, he played well. But last year, significant decline, and they decided they had to go out and get a second pass rusher to add to his ability to dominate. And, you know, so they went and they got Robert Quinn from the Cowboys. Interesting in that Quinn was on a Dallas team last year when he had double-digit sacks. So was Cam Fleming, the Giants' starting right tackle, who had a lot of difficulties with Watt last week. It ought to be very interesting to see how many times do they flop Mack from side to side. Now, last week, he played on the left outside linebacker side more than he did the right outside linebacker side against the Detroit Lions. Will they continue to do it that way, which means he would get more of Fleming? Or will they flop at the other side and have him go more against Thomas? that's the curiosity to me. I'm really intrigued by that because I don't necessarily know if I'm the Bears that I want to put Mac against Thomas. Thomas did a yeoman's job in pass protection last week.
Okay, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Tiki Barber this week made some comments about Saquon Barkley and his pass protection. And I expected nothing less from Barkley. He used it as motivation. He didn't say, oh, you know, what's Tiki? He didn't cry about it. He just said, look, I understand the challenge. I know what I have to do. I'm sure he was disappointed in his own blocking schemes a couple of times where, you know, he could have helped out Daniel Thomas and didn't do it. How do you see that developing?
Well, I mean, look at it this way. Barkley ran for, what, a buck and a quarter, I think, last year against Chicago and had a big run that helped turn the game. To me, the Giants' offensive line had three-fifths of its parts new last week. We saw Nick Gates taking his first ever professional game snap at center. Is it any wonder against that tremendous Steelers front seven that they had a lot of problems? I would expect this teaching coaching staff that I've been praising throughout the offseason is had a lot to say about that film. And I am sure that they did a yeoman's job in terms of getting those guys ready for this week. I expect dramatic improvement from that Giants offensive line. The tight ends, I'm not sure what to expect right now, quite frankly, after what I saw in game number one. But I do think that this offensive line is going to be much better. It is a much less formidable defensive front when you're talking about Chicago compared to Pittsburgh. And quite frankly, I think Barkley, with that extra motivation that he's got, I would expect him to be running twice as hard. Not that he wasn't running hard last week, but he just had no chance to get started because he was hitting the backfield so often. I expect him to have a very big game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, ever since he was drafted number two overall, there's been criticism. You don't take a running back there. And I've been on the side of, yeah, he's such a special player, go with it. But I mean, you're just seeing the fact that, as you said, he was hitting the backfield. He just got the ball, and they were three guys on him. So I don't know that no matter how special you are, if you don't have the blocking, if you don't have at least a crease, there's nothing he can do.
Well, look at it this way, Richard. As I said moments ago, three-fifths of that starting offensive line was brand new. I mean, I find it actually quite laughable without any preseason games and without a normal training camp that anybody really expected Barkley and that offensive line to be in sync. I mean, seriously, I don't understand the logic there, and I don't understand the heavyweight criticism. It wasn't pretty. They did not do well. No one is denying that in any way, shape, or form. But when you replace three-fifths of your offensive line and you have no training camp and preseason games, are they really supposed to come out of the block and run for 150 yards?
Well, it used to take years, remember? But back in the day
exactly.
When an offensive line to
now,
mesh.
Richard.
Yeah, yeah.
You're talking sense. Nobody wants to talk sense these days.
Well, except the game has changed to the point where they don't have the tolerance for it to take years anymore. You know, if
That's
you have an
right.
offensive line and it doesn't work in the first year, the first few games even,
first
people are
game
up in arms.
It doesn't work and people want to hang these guys out to dry. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. There's no question that they will. Here's the difference between this offensive line and the last few years of Giants offensive lines. I believe that they lacked a lot of talent, and I also believe they lacked a lot of coaching help over the last few years. I think what you saw last week was a lack of experience, not a lack of the other two factors. That's what makes me feel better about this line.
One thing, you know, you talk about coaching. I think a lot of people expected, because of everything they'd heard and read about Joe Judge and how tough he was, that he would lambast them after the game publicly, and he didn't do that. Publicly, he said good things about them. Now, privately, you know, behind closed doors, he probably, gave them whatever. But certainly, you know, you see a coach who is supportive publicly, but privately is probably cracking the whip some.
I think maybe a little, but in the open portions of practice that we were able to see this week, I didn't sense that. And I think this is because Coach Judge is smart enough and understands the game well enough to keep things into perspective. I think he understands what the expectations should have been last week. And I think that when you measure those expectations against what the realistic approximation should have been, there's no reason to slam these guys, you know, as a jockey would down the home stretch with a horse. Again, it's gut reaction. It's fans, it's media that have no patience and want to immediately slam. I think if, you know, the running game certainly, as I said, was a mess. The secondary, they had guys getting caught in pick plays, running into each other, getting confused back there, a situation where you've got replacement parts on the secondary also. What did you expect? I think every other facet of the team performed up to expectations other than those two areas. And obviously those two areas were lacking significantly, and that's why they lost to a much better team.
Yeah, well, I think the killer was at the end of the first half, and it seemed to me when they got the ball with, what, about a minute and a half left that, you know, they ran it a couple of times, and I thought, all right, they're just going to go into the locker room. They'll be, you know, trailing. It won't be a big deal. But then they made a couple of big plays, moved the ball down the field, scored a touchdown, and that to me was maybe not the nail in the coffin, but that was the indication that Pittsburgh was going to take control of this game.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's no question that at the end of the first half, that was a real kick to the gut, I think, to the Giants. But then, of course, the third quarter interception after Daniel Jones had that sensational drive. And then, you know, should have tucked the ball away. Let's not kid ourselves. Should have either tried to get out of bounds or tucked it away and eaten it and taken the sack. Instead, he waited too long and then tried to throw it into the end zone and make a play. It was an inexperienced play by a second-year quarterback. It was foolish. It was a really, really important play because you figure at the very least, if things don't go well on the next down, you kick the field goal and you're only down 16-13 after three quarters. And I think anybody would have signed up for that. But, you know, hey, that's what happens. The Giants aren't good enough yet. They're not to the stage where they can make self-inflicted mistakes and overcome them, especially against a team the caliber of the Steelers. That's a heavyweight championship team you're talking about. The Bears, they're a middleweight, just like the Giants. They're a middleweight team. So you got two middleweights going at it in this game tomorrow. The Giants should feel a heck of a lot better about their chances at Soldier Field.
Well, on the plus side, I agree with you. I like Jason Garrett's game plan, and I also like the fact they go no huddle in the beginning, you know, setting their own tempo. You know, there was some creative plays that I didn't necessarily see last year. So I like the direction he's taking them, and I think this offense can thrive with him calling the plays.
I would agree with that. The game plan was very studious. I thought even defensively, I thought the different fronts that they showed, sometimes with only one down lineman, sometimes with two, sometimes with none at all. You know, again, we've talked about many times the chameleon Belichickian type defense that Judge and Graham were going to employ. Look, they had some trouble downfield. All right. There's no question in the defensive backfield. They had some missed assignments and they had some physical errors. But up front, I mean, to be honest with you, Richard, I thought they played the run fairly well. A couple of runs broke out late and kind of wrecked the stats on them. But I thought they played the run fairly well. And would anybody seriously argue with the pass rush? First half, it was terrific. It slowed down some in the second. But I think on the whole, that was a pretty solid effort by a pass rush that has been much maligned, justifiably, because we didn't know where it was going to come from. But I thought Leonard Williams had a terrific game, and Dexter Lawrence played pretty darn well, too.
Well, they fooled me. There was one play in the first quarter, I think it was, where it was a third down play, and I see the Giants, like, standing around and moving a lot and looking very uncertain, and I said, oh boy, this is going to be bad because they don't seem to be organized. And yet they were doing it on purpose to confuse Roethlisberger. And sure enough, I think they either got a sack or a tackle behind the line of scrimmage. So it was designed to not let Roethlisberger have any clue as to what they were going to do.
Right. That's called an amoeba defense, when you have all of your guys standing up. Nobody's down on the ground, and guys are just kind of motioning around, and as you say, almost like lazy-like, taking a couple of steps, kind of walking around, got their arms dangling by their sides. That's the amoeba defense. It's something Rex Ryan really brought to the forefront with the Ravens some years ago, even had it with the Jets for a short time. And, you know, that's all about, you know, disguising and trying to play head games. Look, Ben Roethlisberger, let's not kid ourselves. The guy's a Hall of Fame quarterback. You're going to be much less likely to fool him on a consistent basis with something like that than you will a Mitchell Trubisky, who, by the way, has accuracy problems out the wazoo. Much different quarterback we're talking about here than Big Ben.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we'll see how it happens tomorrow. Again, unfortunately, Jets and Giants playing at the same time. I wish the NFL would stop doing that, but I guess they know what they're doing, right?
Be well, Richard.
Okay, Paul Dottino on the Giants.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.